When he rose the next morning, he forced himself to crawl from the warm sleeping bag and pull on his stiff, cold clothes. Before heading to the pond, he knocked on the cabin door and called softly. "I'm going to the pond. Anybody going with me?"
"What time is it?"
Garvey asked, his voice hoarse. Cole realized he hadn't looked at a clock in nearly a year.
"It's time to go soak in the pond. That's what time it is," he said.
"Give us 5 minutes," Garvey said.
"I don't want to go soak in any pond," Peter mumbled.
"We'll just go along and watch," Garvey said.
Cole saw a lantern flicker in the window, and he heard movement inside. Soon, Garvey and Peter emerged from the cabin, both wearing their rubber boots and heavy jackets. Immediately, Cole set out through the dark, heavy mist, walking slowly so Peter could keep up. He heard the distinct shuffle of Peter's awkward footsteps behind him. When they reached the pond, Cole realized that he had forgotten to bring a towel, but it didn't matter. He could use his undershirt. He stripped and entered the frigid water. Peter and Garvey sat down on the bank to watch. It was nearly the beginning of May, but still the icy water pierced Cole's skin like millions of tiny needles. He waded in, forcing steady breaths until he reached the rock ledge on the far side. Eyes closed, he heard Garvey's muffled voice speaking to Peter on the other side of the pond, but he couldn't make out what was said. Cole soaked until his breaths felt chilled. Then he waded back to shore. His body had numbed to the bone, but he didn't rush. During the last year, he had grown accustomed to the icy water. No longer did it take his breath away as it had when he first came here with Edwin.
"Do you guys want to carry the ancestor rock with me?"
he asked as he wiped dry with his undershirt.
"I've explained the ancestor rock to Peter," Garvey said. "We'll hike along and watch you."
Cole picked up the large rock and started up the slope. He led the way, never pausing or looking back. By the time he reached the top, his bad arm ached, but he still breathed normally. Peter and Garvey both breathed hard, and heavy sweat beaded on their foreheads. "Now my ancestor rock becomes my anger," Cole explained, setting the big rock down. He turned to Peter.
"You can push it down the hill if you want."
Peter shook his head.
"I'll do it then," Cole said, giving the rock a hard shove.
As the rock tumbled down the hill, Cole closed his eyes.
"When I hear that sound, I imagine my anger leaving," he explained.
He waited until the crashing rock came to a stop at the bottom, remained motionless for a moment longer, then opened his eyes and started down the slope. Nobody spoke as they worked their way back downstream.
"Do you need help with anything?"
Garvey asked as they arrived back in camp.
"I need to collect more firewood if I'm going to be staying outside much longer."
"Do you feel like helping us collect firewood?"
Garvey asked Peter. Peter turned and walked to the shore and stared off at the horizon without answering.
"What's his problem?" Cole said.
"You,"
Garvey replied.
"But I hope he knows we're collecting this firewood because of him," Cole whispered.
Garvey answered quickly.
"I hope you know that everybody's up here because of you."
Cole began collecting wood.